morning again, and this is Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble and Scott Spears, or Scott Spears and Glenn Coble, whichever you want to call it. And we'll have Scott here on in about 10 seconds. Can't talk to him while the music's still playing. That's kind of weird, isn't it? We have all sorts of little bugs here at the radio station. Hey, Scott, you back?
I'm here raring and rip-roaring, ready to go.
All right. That is kind of funny that I can't talk to you while the music's going on. Maybe I'll just crank the music back up. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that to you, Scott.
Well, you know, before we went to break there, I was talking, you know, about medicals and illness.
Yeah.
Well, now I have something to report because
okay.
As we were going to break there, I was backing up in my office chair, which has wheels on it.
Oh, no.
Bare feet. And I rolled over my big toe.
Oh, no. Is
so
it broken?
You want to talk about real pain. That's pain.
It's not broken, though, is it?
Not broken, but it is bleeding at this point.
Oh, well, make sure you take care of that. You know, I can cover for a while.
Well, I got a piece of tissue on it.
You know, there aren't very many people that I know that call it a piece of tissue. Most people say Kleenex or toilet paper or something like that. Not a piece
of
tissue.
I'm going to leave the tissue on it until the blood stops. And
yeah,
then
I'd
put a
say.
Okay.
Do you want me to send the EMS?
Well, you see, now this is the real death. This is the real medical issue. I wonder how many cards and letters I'll get about my toe.
Probably not as many, right?
Not as many. Not but boy, you know what? People are nice, and I appreciate that. And that's you know, you don't expect something like that, and it's just, you know, it's very nice.
Yeah, it is. And I hadn't mentioned my little problem on the air, so I want to let people know that I'm just going in for a test, so it's not anything serious yet. Let's hope it won't be. But you know, you were talking about how maybe you were fated to be able to tell people not to be afraid of things like this. Well, you know, you did me some good, and I really appreciate that. You and I have talked about both of our situations, and you did make me feel more comfortable.
Well, I'm glad I was able to, and I hope if that's one thing I can do is to say, okay, you don't want it to happen to you. You'd rather not it happen to you, but it's doable. It doesn't mean your life comes to a halt, and it doesn't mean that you're miserable, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to come back. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the message, and I hope if that's the message, then that's good enough for me. And you know, I think for the rest of my life, that will be my message to people, is that when you think something sounds bad, it probably does, but you listen to the people who know what they're doing, you do it, you get through it, and then you'll be back.
It's brought up to me, you know, and again, mine is not, it's just a test, but it's brought up to me the thought that it's kind of trite, but live each day as you get them. There's nothing, worrying about what's coming up in 10 days or 10 years doesn't do anybody any good. All it does is wear you out.
You know, it's very interesting you bring this point up, because I was talking last night to somebody, and I said, since this has happened, because I've been in it now since March the 3rd, well, not being able to come in.
Yeah.
Since March the 3rd, and that's quite a while. I mean, I've known about it since January. But the interesting thing is that it is very closely associated with death. Now, I'm not saying I'm dying. I'm not. But
Dr. Feynman, don't worry. He's okay.
No, I'm not keeling over yet. Now, maybe from the toe. The toe might do me
that
in.
That might do you in if you bleed
might
to
do
death.
Me in.
Yes.
I'm losing blood as we speak right now. So if I pass out, you know what's happened. But I thought about writing an op-ed piece for the Marion Star on death. Because when you tell people that you have this, that's their reaction.
Yeah.
They almost look like you have one foot in the grave. And I actually spoke to a doctor, because I did get a second opinion when I was going through this. I spoke to a doctor, And he said, because I told him, I said, everybody I'm telling looks at me like I got one foot in the grave. And he said, don't tell people what you have. He said, that's what they do. They've been conditioned that way.
Yeah.
And my point is on this whole thing, what I've learned is before this day's over, in Marion, Ohio, somebody's going to die of a car crash.
Yeah.
In Marion, Ohio, somebody's going to die of a stroke.
Yeah.
In Marion, Ohio, somebody's going to die of a heart attack. In Marion, Ohio, somebody's going to die of an aneurysm. And sometimes people are murdered, unfortunately. But I will tell you this. Of all those people who will be dead by tomorrow morning at this time, who are alive right now, they're not sitting there thinking they're going to die.
No. Yeah.
And even the people who die from old, let's say you're in your 90s.
Yeah.
Well, the odds aren't great that you've got a lot of life left, even if you are in good health. Do you sit around thinking about death all the time? Probably not.
Doesn't do you any good, does it?
No. So why is it only with illness that we fixate on death? Because all the other situations I just explained that result in death don't end with death. You don't fixate on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have
I might write an op-ed for the paper.
I think it'd be a good one.
They'll print it, but I might write it.
I have an uncle and aunt-in-law. I know that doesn't sound very close, but Uncle Jim and Aunt Joe were my favorite uncle and aunt because most of my other uncles and aunts were long gone before I was 10 years old. They were wonderful people, and both of them passed. Well, one of them passed this past week, and the uncle passed about a month ago. So they passed close together, but they didn't fixate on it. Neither one of them. They knew they were getting older, but they just lived every day to the fullest. And I hope I can do that. Yeah.
Well, that's it, and no regrets. And right. And
don't do anything that you should regret.
Well, here's the thing. It's a funny thing, because the truth of the matter is, even if people say they don't regret, have no regrets, they've made choices they wish they hadn't. Now,
sure.
That's semantics. If you want to call that a regret, fine. If you don't want to call it a regret, fine. The trick with that is to get past it, to say, well, yeah, I made the wrong choice. That's a regret, but it's not haunting me every day.
Yeah, and I remember thinking about that when I was younger and thinking, well, what are the things that I really regret that I did? Most of them had something to do with some relationship I had with somebody else, and I found out that the relationships come and go, and they're not nearly as deep in the other person's brain as they are in yours. So, I remember regretting that I broke up with a girl because I broke her heart. And there weren't very many that I did that to, but I broke her heart and she cried and cried and cried. And but she's alive and doing well right now. So, and has been married for 50 years. So,
even with a broken heart.
Even with a broken heart. Your heart doesn't bleed like a toe that was run over by a chair.
Well, I can tell you about those toes right now. I got a PhD in that.
Has it slowed down?
Well, let me take a look.
Please do. Go ahead and I will vamp here while you're looking at your toe. Or maybe run and get a Band-Aid. That wouldn't hurt. I can talk for a while. we have a phone call, so I'm going to take the phone call, Scott, so you might keep your ears on. All right? Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, you guys. Hey. How are you this morning?
There you are. I'm going to call you on the break. I've got a question I've got to ask you. But
okay, no problem. Well, I called for a couple things. First of all, Scott, as you probably may or may not know, I belong to the Knights of Columbus, and our benefactor, or the individual that started the Knights of Columbus, was a Father McGivney. And he was a parish priest up in Connecticut. And anyway, make a long story short, he's about one step away from sainthood. And I when I found out you were going through what you're going through, you know, sometime back, I did put in prayer intentions for you through Father McGivney. So you got a lot of people praying for you, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you're only a step away from sainthood, too, Scott. With that bleeding toe.
Hey, and listen, and Fred makes an important point here, and I appreciate that, Fred, quite a bit. But you know what? Anybody who has sent anything to the Lord on my behalf, I appreciate it. And I always forget to say that because I have had a lot of that, and I really, really appreciate it.
Well, and you know, spiritually and mentally, it helps. Believe me, I've been down that road myself, so I know exactly.
Well, both of you can help me out, all right?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm an atheist, as you know. What do I do to express my concern for people that are having a struggle?
Well, you can be an atheist and still have a thought that there is a higher being.
I don't.
Not necessarily a certain God, I don't think, but I don't know. I would just pray to Mother Nature.
I mean, and that's kind of what I do. I kind of say, I wish you the best.
Right,
or
absolutely.
Like
that's
that.
Yeah. And again, it's the thought that counts. I mean, that's an old cliche, but
yep,
that has a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, a couple things. May the 12th, which is on a Thursday, and it's actually the Thursday before I will be on your show, so
okay,
that's why I wanted to mention it today, and I'll probably call in again. We are having a grand opening of Lynn School on that day. It's on a Thursday, May 12th. Between 4 and 5, we're going to cut a ribbon and kind of officially open the school for the season. Now, of course, we were open a little bit last season, but a lot of people have not been to Lynn School since the semi ran through it a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So we're doing this basically to celebrate the reopening of Lynn School, and we'd like to invite anybody and everybody that wants to come out to be there for the ribbon cutting at 4 and take a little tour of Lynn School and learn a little bit more about the gym that we have and the restored one-room schoolhouse.
So
perfect.
That's on the 12th?
On the 12th, yeah.
Okay.
Thursday the 12th of May, between 4 and 5.
We had some people that were confused about a ribbon opening on the 2nd.
Well, that's in June, and that's the ribbon cutting for the Mary Ellen Withrow exhibit at the museum.
June 2nd, okay.
Yeah, and that's from 4 to 7.
Okay,
yeah.
Good,
now,
thanks.
Well, now, is that still a go on the 2nd, Fred, June the 2nd?
June 2nd, yeah. And still need that number from you if you can find it.
Yeah, I'm looking that up, but somebody came up to me and said that might not happen. Is that it's definitely a go though?
Yeah, it's definitely a go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I haven't been informed of anything different. I was just at a board meeting the other night, so
good.
At that point, everything's still a go.
All right.
Yep. Excellent.
Good.
That takes care of one of my problems. So,
okay.
Actually, two of my problems.
Okay. Good. The other thing I wanted to mention was, and you'll find this interesting, I think I might have mentioned to you, Clem, when I was on the show last time, that I'm reading this book called Travels with George.
Yeah.
Written by a guy by the name of Nathaniel Philbrick, who's a favorite historical author of mine. He's written several other history books. One, The Mayflower, which was a bestseller, and I think made it, made it to the New York Times bestseller list. And another one about Bunker Hill. He writes primarily about early history, revolutionary, post-revolutionary, pre-revolutionary, but in general. And this book called Travels with George, do you remember Steinbeck wrote a book called Travels with Charlie?
I don't.
I never read the book, but Charlie was his dog.
Oh,
and
yes,
he took his dog on this adventure, and this book was based on his travels with his dog. So what Philbrick did was he decided to retrace the route that George Washington took after he was inaugurated, in which he visited the 13 colonies within about a 120-day period.
Yeah.
And so on this trip, he took with him his wife, Melissa, as his navigator, and their dog, Nora. So he calls the book Travels with George, which includes Nora and his wife, Melissa. But some of the interesting things I'm finding out about Washington post-inauguration. First off, of course, I think most everybody knows he didn't want to be president.
Yeah.
After the war, he wanted to go back to Mount Vernon and live out the rest of his life overseeing the plantation and making more money. But since he was elected president and inaugurated, he decided to make this trip through all of the 13 colonies, just so that the people in general could get a glimpse of him and maybe hear him speak and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm only about halfway through the book right now, but I'm finding out that he wasn't always a pleasant person to be around. He did have a temper. On this trip, he wanted to stay in all of the different taverns that the people would go to. He didn't want to stay in fancy places. But he also complained almost everywhere he went of how bad the food was and how bad the accommodations were and so forth. So what it really proves is George Washington was just a man, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And he had complaints and difficulties with his surroundings just like we do. But another very interesting book. I wasn't quite sure what to expect when I started reading it, but I'm really enjoying the book. For anybody out there that likes to read, especially if they're interested in history, I'd put it on your list, Travels with George, Nathaniel Philbrick.
Great.
So,
thanks a lot, Fred.
Yep, other than that, you guys take care, and
okay.
I'll keep listening. Anything else comes up, I'll certainly let you know and upgrade you on anything that's happening here in the Marion County Historical Society world and some of the other places I deal with.
Thanks a lot, Fred.
Have a great
thanks,
day.
Fred. You too.
Bye-bye.
Now, does that help you, Scott?
Well, it does, but it just leaves me more confused.
Yeah, I knew you had questions about that second thing, and that's June 2nd,
I
not
had heard,
May
you
2nd.
Know, I know Fred had told me and had called in on the air about the June the 2nd event for Mary Ellen, and, 4-7, and we were going to broadcast from it. I think we still are. But over the weekend, when I did go out to the Tony Danza thing, I brought this up to somebody, and they didn't seem to know anything about it. And then I got an email this week saying that there wasn't going to be anything. And I they said they heard this from the board of the Historical Society, so I'm totally confused.
Well, now you've heard it from, and excuse me, Fred, you've heard it from the horse's mouth.
Well, Fred, if, call the board and see if they...
If they know what's going on.
This June the 2nd thing, because yeah. Something... There's a miss somewhere.
Oh, well, that's our job here on local radio, is to clear all this stuff up, right?
Well, and I hate to do this on the air, and I'm not going to say who told me, but, I mean, it's a credible person.
Yes, I know who it is, and yes, it is a credible person.
Yes, so I'm really confused.
Okay, well, maybe Fred can get with his board and get things straightened out.
Yeah, I would just double-check with that board and see what they... what they're saying.
Okay. All right. Well, we were afraid we wouldn't have anything to talk about in this half of the show.
Oh, there's always something.
Yeah,
talk about.
As we go to dead air.
Here's something I think is interesting.
Sure.
This Trump rally on Saturday, people showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning for that, and I think that people, for better or worse, better start understanding his power in this state with his endorsement.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If people don't wake up to that, there's going to be some trouble.
This state is really quite a Trump state, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, that number is staggering to me, that if Trump endorses you in Ohio, that the Republican voters say they are 54.9% more likely to vote for you. Basically, if Trump endorses you, you win.
Yeah, and like you said when you're talking about polls, I'm kind of... iffy on polls as well. I'm not sure if you got really close to the situation, if it would be 54%. But yeah, it's going to be a large number, whatever it is.
This way,
yeah.
If J.D. Vance wins, it was because of Donald Trump, because he was nowhere near winning that race. Mandel had it all sewed up. And if Vance wins, what else could you attribute it to?
Well, didn't you say, like, nearly 50% of the people were undecided?
No, that's for the Democrat.
Oh, okay.
The Democratic problem is why with two candidates who, and you even said Nan Whaley has been out there.
Yeah.
Why are over half the electorate still undecided?
Well, I would say, if nothing else, that's not a good harbinger for Nan Whaley for the general if she happens to win. Nobody knows who she is.
Well, let me tell you this. Now, here, this is a poll, and people can do what they want with it, but this will just tell you the Trump bounce. In March, just last month, this Senate race, here was how it was going down in March. Gibbons had 22%. Mandel had 20%. Vance was in third place with 11%. And Dolan had 7%, 24% undecided. Now, after this thing on this rally on Saturday, Dolan is still in last with 11%. Gibbons has went from first to third with 13%. Mandel went from 20% to 18%, and Vance is now leading by 5 points, 23%, 11% to 23% from third place to first place in 1 month.
That is amazing. Yeah, it truly is. Hey, we've got a phone call. Let's go to the air, or the phone, okay? Hang on. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt your conversation, but I just wanted to tell you and make sure that everyone knows that has not been changed. June 2nd is the official ribbon cutting, and that comes directly from the executive director of the Marion County Historical Society.
And I didn't mean to call you a horse's mouth.
Oh, no, that's okay. I've been called a lot worse. I've been called a horse at the other end.
But I was very confused by this. I just I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know either, but that's directly from the executive director's.
Excellent.
She's the one that set it up. So it has not been canceled.
Good to clear it up.
Good. Yeah, I like I said, I have not been to any board meetings, and I haven't been out and about much, but it was just, I thought, well, that's strange to hear.
Well, you know, it's like I told Brandy, I said, you know, Marion's known for rumor mill.
Yeah.
Once something gets started, it's like a wildfire out west. It's hard to stop.
Yep.
But June the 2nd is definitely the ribbon cutting for Mary Ellen's Museum also.
Okay.
Buckeye Telephone Museum, which we've taken possession of, and also Sherry Williamson's Little Elves.
Okay, that'll be a great day.
All three of them will be that day. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Fred. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You know, Glenn,
yeah.
I tendered this suggestion the other day, and like I said, I am not out to... you know what? I'm not sure if this call is to be on the air. I'm getting a call here.
Okay, you want me to vamp a little bit while you take it off the air?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is interesting radio. Scott's at his home, and I'm at the studio, and we're having somebody call from another area. Kind of fun the way we can do this sort of thing. Now, if you call into the radio station and somebody else tries to call in, you can't get through but because we only have one line that comes in here, but with Scott sitting at home with apparently some sort of a phone thing where, you know, the fancy new phones, you can take another phone call. I wonder if you can do that with the face thing, FaceTime on your phone. If you can take two FaceTimes on it, then I could, if I could do two or three, then I could get all three of my kids on FaceTime and we could have a family get together. Not that they want to get together with Grandpa and Grandma, but you never know.
All right, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
it was an off the air question.
Okay.
But no, what like I said, I don't want to tell any, because I said the other day, and I truly mean this from the bottom of my heart, we have the Harding home, we have the Harding Memorial.
Yep.
We have the colleges and Stingletrew Museum, and I think it's all great. Lynn School, all that. The Historical Society to me will be the most important thing we ever have in Marion, because 100 years from now, all those other things will be pretty much the same and pretty much doing what they have always done. The Historical Society will be the preservation of everything we have done until now and everything we do in the next 100 years.
That's important. It truly is.
It is important.
Yeah.
And also, like I said, we are going to give the archive, and the whole station has talked about this, make it available. I guess I shouldn't say give it, but make it available to people at the Historical Society who might want to hear old shows, interviews, what Marion people were talking about during campaigns, election coverages that we did. We have all that.
COVID.
COVID. 2016 campaign. We were at the Republican convention. So
you can't
all that stuff.
I struggled to find some information about the 1918 pandemic, and a friend of mine sent me an audio tape of a gentleman who had gone through it, and those things are important because it gives you an idea of what was going on at the time.
Well, and that's why I said I would never certainly say anything negative, and I'm not trying to tell the Historical Society how to run their show, but I thought, you know, everybody loves to eat, so at this ribbon cutting, I think it would be interesting because Mary Ellen used to pass out recipe cards at her when she was campaigning.
I didn't know that.
Huh. Yeah, and when she did her thing out at Kroger, she signed recipe cards.
Oh, that's cool.
And I thought, wouldn't it be neat, because dinner with the presidents, they serve up the president's favorite food.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting, and I'm not saying a meal, I think that might be too ambitious for June the 2nd, but wouldn't it be neat if they could get like a dessert or an appetizer that was Mary Ellen's recipe, and have the Historical Society cook that up, and people could try it who were there for that event.
And then hand out a recipe card with
and
that.
And she could sign a recipe
card. Yeah, yeah. That would be fun.
And then, you know, I don't know if there's going to be speakers, but, you know, I can give you 3 minutes on Mary Ellen. I have some funny stories with her over the things that don't deal with Washington, because I think a lot of people know her from Washington and know her from her political life. Well, I've had some, I mean, I've done election night with her. We went to the Bratwurst Festival together.
Yeah.
You know, I have some, I can tell you about the lady, and the lady is a gem. And I think those stories need to be preserved.
I had a date with her.
And newspapers will tell about her political career. But the lady, I mean, she's been to my house for Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day cookouts. I can tell you about that.
I had a date with her. I got to pick her up and take her to an event.
You did not have a date with Mary Ellen. You were her driver, Glenn.
I was her driver.
I can tell you behind the scenes, Mary Ellen. And I'll tell you what, it's not much different from Mary Ellen on the air. She is a
sweetheart.
Very special lady.
Yeah, she is. She is. Great fun. When I was running for office, she helped me out. A friend of mine ran for office later, and she helped him out. And, she's and didn't complain or say, well, you know, try to give us a caveat. Well, I can't do that. She's very helpful and very kind.
Fred, again, you know, it's up to you and that group there. But I can tell you one of my favorite stories, and I'm not going to tell it here because maybe he'll want me to tell it then.
Yeah.
But this was funny. We have covered the grand opening of Stewart's Root Beer because it's the oldest restaurant currently operating in Marion the last few years. And I asked Mary Ellen if she wanted to do this. And Mary Ellen is a gem. She pick me up. I'll go over there. We'll have a hot dog and cover the thing. And I'm not going to tell you the story, but the story is what happened there. But the next day, Charlie Evers got on the air and said, you know what? You should have listened to this station last night because Scott and his gang were there with the treasurer of the United States eating at Stewart's Root Beer. What other station are you going to have a treasurer of the United States
That's right.
on at a root beer stand? But Mary Ellen doesn't have airs like
No,
that.
She doesn't. Yeah.
She could, but she doesn't.
Yeah. She does not. She's a
But I'll save that story in case Fred wants me to tell it. It's a funny story.
Okay. I'll be glad to hear it myself. Maybe you can
and
tell
again,
me off
Fred,
the air
I'm
sometime.
I'm not telling you how to run your show there. just suggestions.
Well, I'm glad we kind of cleared up the date, at least. And,
oh,
and
me too.
What was going on here. All right. I'm sure that Dr. Feynman's probably listening by now and is totally confused.
Yeah, but he comes on the air that way.
I want to tell him you said that.
He still thinks John Adams isn't the greatest president.
Okay, we're not going to have a fight over this, are we?
No, we're not. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you, though, and I don't want to get into that, but you know what? It's interesting. Last night, I watched a show David McCullough, the great historian, was doing, and he was being interviewed, and he talked about how he did not like Jefferson, that he appreciated him. He thinks there couldn't have been a country without him because of the Declaration of Independence. But as a person, Jefferson wasn't there when you needed him. He was aloof. He said Adams and Washington were always there when you needed them. But Jefferson wasn't. Jefferson was kind of out for himself, and he only did things when he wanted to.
Well, he was not only out for himself, but he apparently thought of himself pretty highly because he wrote his own Bible.
Well, he did. But, you know, I don't think he intended for that to be seen.
I mean, probably not. But it has been.
That's kind of rotten that somebody put it out there. It's like people's love letters. I don't think you should publish people's love letters.
You don't?
No, because that is not news. I mean, what news value? That's tabloid.
Yeah, but you know, there are certain love letters I'd like to see, like a love letter from JFK to his wife, or you know, there are certain people that you think in a romantic mode, and I think maybe one would be might open up some vision into that person's life. I don't know. Maybe JFK was the wrong choice, but, you know, I'd like to see a love letter from President Nixon to his wife. I think that would be very enlightening.
Yeah, but that's not what they publish. What they publish are love letters to your mistress.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, I was watching a show about love letters, and I stopped to think, I don't think I've ever written my wife a love letter.
Oh.
I don't write.
Have you written anyone a love letter?
Huh?
Have you written a love letter?
Yes, I have.
Oh, and that's even worse.
But they were pre-wifey.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like trouble to me.
We probably shouldn't go any further because occasionally she listens.
Well, she should have listened this morning. I had Susan Flannery on.
I wish she had been listening, but I know she wasn't because as I left the house, she was going into the shower. So I doubt that she was listening while she was in the shower.
Well, and I do want to also say, I've said this early in the week, but Tony Danza was great Saturday night. I was so impressed with him.
I was shocked at how short he is.
Yeah, he's not very tall, but when you think about it, I mean, he wasn't the tallest person on Taxi or any of those shows.
Yeah. No, I saw the picture of you and him and the others that were there. Well, I got a phone call. Let's go to the phone. What do you say?
Go ahead.
All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I guess I should be in the studio today.
You should have come in.
I think maybe I should have. Love letters. John and Abigail Adams wrote letters to each other every day that he was gone, and they were away for years and years, apart for years and years and years. And they're in a collection. I have a collection of those love letters in a book. And you want to talk about two people that were thoroughly in love with each other. Those two people were. And they had to be, considering, you know, he traipsed all over the world and left her at home to raise the kids and be there with, you know, when one of them got sick and died. But those are great letters. And also Harry Truman wrote love letters to Bess, and those are in the collection, and I have those as well. So there are some good love letters. Now, I'm, like Scott, I don't think love letters like the ones that Harding wrote to some of his mistresses should be published, those types of things.
It's nobody else's business. Yeah.
But the love letters of certain individuals that are professing real love, especially between a husband and a wife that had been together for 50 years.
Yeah.
I think the Reagans have some good nothing wrong with publishing
letters
those
too.
Because really those kind of give people an insight into what true love is.
What'd you say, Scott?
I said, I think the Reagans have a book of letters.
They do,
stuff.
Yes, right. That was another one, right.
Huh.
And Nancy wrote a book after Ron died that I have not read. However, I have some friends that have read it, and it's a very, very good book, a very, very good book.
Okay.
But
just don't tell my wife.
Yeah. But there are some good love letters. If I can find my... my collection of letters between the Adamses, I will bring that the next time I'm there.
That'd be good, yeah.
Next month, and we'll read a couple.
Okay.
Since we're talking about all things White House anyway.
Yep.
But that relationship, absolutely amazing. And Scott, you're absolutely right about Jefferson, or whoever said what they said about Jefferson, one of you did. He was pretty much out for himself. And it's remarkable, and I think that was why there was so much friction. Some of the times, that much friction between Adams and Jefferson, and it's interestingly enough, you know, they didn't really become friends until they were both out of the limelight and were in the twilight of the years and started corresponding.
Didn't they both die on the same day?
Yeah, they did. Right.
Well,
yeah.
And
Adams died thinking that Jefferson was still alive, and actually Jefferson died before Adams did that day.
Well, and like I said, and Dr. Feinman disagrees with this, but the truth of the matter is, John Adams was the one who said, George Washington, you're the guy to lead this army, because Washington didn't want to.
Right.
And Adams was also the one who said, Jefferson, you write the Declaration of Independence. I'm not the one to do this. So both of those things would not have happened without John Adams.
All right.
So if we're talking about a chicken and the egg theory here,
and
Adams was the first until his son also not to own slaves, and he wrote things that are so profound about slavery that none of the other founding fathers wrote.
That's true. Yeah.
So why is he not considered as... I mean, I get why Washington's considered the greatest, but I don't understand why Jefferson and Monroe and Madison get a better shake than Adams. I think that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily agree that Washington was the greatest, so I'm from a different school of thought there.
He was the firstest.
He's seen in the top three.
Well, he was the first, and I think that's why he gets put in that position. But I wouldn't necessarily, maybe the top ten, but I wouldn't necessarily put him in the top three, no.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Honestly, I would put Adams above him.
I agree. I agree.
But that's showbiz, I guess.
Yeah, right, absolutely. But we'll talk more about those love letters, Glenn, on some of our subsequent shows.
Excellent.
Okay,
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Fred. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You know, since you have Dr. Feinman coming on next hour, you know what I was thinking? You know, I have a lot of time to think now since I'm at home.
Yeah.
You know, we rank our presidents and give our presidents their ranking based upon how big they won elections and what policies they enacted and were they impeached, did they resign. You know, this is kind of how we rank presidents. You know, we do not put enough ranking on bringing the country together or inspiring people. Now, that's a bigger task than policy, than getting yourself impeached, than resigning, than all that. And there are very few presidents, like it or not, who inspired the country.
Well, I would say that's why Washington probably gets the number one nod, because if nothing else, he did inspire the nation to continue to move forward.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you know, honestly, on inspirational president, I was trying to think about this. I thought, now, who were the really inspirational presidents? And in my mind, certainly you got to put JFK there.
Yeah.
People... And he is not a policy guy.
No.
Most of his legacy is based on, we're going to put a man on the moon. Ask not what your country can do for you, what you can do for your country.
Yeah.
He was an inspirational leader. He was the first president born in the 20th century. He was inspirational. And if I know people don't like this, but we'll go to the other side. People who say Ronald Reagan was not inspirational are full of garbage. Ronald Reagan won 49 states. in 1984. People like Ronald Reagan, whether or not you agreed with his policies or anything about him, people liked him. He made the country feel good. We were the shining city on a hill.
You haven't talked to my wife lately.
Tear down that wall. That's Ronald Reagan. And then you certainly have to say Obama inspired people. He inspired people to come out and vote and register to vote. I remember the young kids who were working for the Obama campaign who couldn't have given a flip about politics prior to that. And, you know, I'll take the heat on this one from my Democratic friends. But you listen, if you say Donald Trump has not inspired people, you're full of baloney. I've never seen people put flags on their cars. This man is not president, and he is selling more merchandise now than he did when he was president.
I would question whether that's inspiration or negative hate. but okay.
But inspiration can be good or bad.
Yeah, it can be positive or negative. Yeah.
A lot of people might think Reagan was negative. A lot of people might think Kennedy was negative. Their inspiration. Inspiration is inspiring people to do something. And if people say Trump doesn't inspire people, you might not agree with what he's inspiring them to do, but he can get people to do stuff. He can get them. People ran rallies in this country. People put together rallies on their own, parades. Well, and ran through the streets. Other politicians done that in modern times.
I may cause lots of people to turn the radio off right now, but Hitler was inspirational.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For the same reason.
I wasn't going to say that because I didn't want to send the letters to Glenn, not to me, but you're absolutely right. He was. Hitler, yeah. Look at those crowds.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah.
Look at those. And listen to them scream when he says he's going to get them jobs.
Yeah.
And Germany's great. He was inspirational.
Yep, he was.
Winston Churchill was inspirational.
Yeah.
And inspirational does not mean good.
No.
It means inspiring people to do things they would rather not do. Nixon was a great policy guy, but he couldn't inspire a bologna sandwich.
No.
Carter.
Unless it was fried.
Carter couldn't do that. And I'll tell you what, Clinton had some inspiration. When Clinton said, "I feel your pain," and Clinton was an inspirational president, too.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
So those are the ones that I could think of. I could think of Kennedy, Trump, Obama, Clinton. Would you put anybody else in there?
Well, I would put Roosevelt in there because of – but he took – I mean, because he took us into World War II in something that he didn't really want to do initially. And
you know,
he fired up the people.
If Roosevelt was inspiring, but Roosevelt, I don't know if he had the highest IQ. He probably didn't.
I don't know.
But he understood the job better than anybody.
He did understand the job, yeah.
And I think, you know, one person said that Roosevelt's idea of the presidency was him in the job.
Yeah.
That's where I think he scores high.
Yeah.
I don't know that he was inspirational. I don't know that people looked at Franklin Roosevelt and said, "I want to be like him. I'll go out and do this." I think he just understood how to schmooze.
Well, the situation that was going on while he was president inspired people, if not him.
Yeah. Wars tend to inspire people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think we put enough into that because I tell you what, inspiration also gets you votes.
Yes, it does. Hey, we're down to our last minute and a half, so you got anything to tell anybody before we go to Dr. Feynman?
I'll be on tomorrow morning.
Good.
And we should have some fun with that. Oh, gosh, we didn't do the plugs today. We've got Nate Redmond coming up 4 to 5. We've got Offbeat News and – no, that is Nate Redmond's show, Offbeat
yep.
News and Trivia.
Yeah, it is.
Then we've got Live at 5, the show with no name, Pastor Craig, Terry Tackett, and Nate Redmond. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:15 until 7.
You got it done. And we still have
a
minute.
How about that?
Okay. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Well, don't we have a minute?
Oh, wait a minute. We do. We still have a minute.
What are you doing there, Glenn?
I was trying to get rid of you.
Please.
Okay.
Felt like the hook was coming.
Anyway, it is coming. We got 45 seconds. What do you want to tell me?
Well, no, I'm just stay tuned for Dr. Feynman and Glenn, and I'll say this: even if you don't agree with them, it's good to listen. I think that's important. You know, you don't always have to agree with what people
that's
are
right.
saying on the air.
That's right. And sometimes we are disagreeable. So,
right.
Yeah.
But I'm not dying. John Adams is a far underrated president, and everybody I just said is inspirational. So if that comes up on the Feynman show. Oh, and what about Ted Cruz supporting Mandel and Vance supporting Trump supporting Vance and Vance moving up to one? And that's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow maybe if we call in.
You're listening to WWPH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people on